Welcome to the Forward Church Podcast. We're so glad you joined us today. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast to stay up to date with our latest episodes. Now let's get ready to dive into today's message. We know you'll be blessed.
Amen. Can we give all the families of the veterans and the ones who have fallen to serve our country, can we give them the best hand clap of praise today? Happy Memorial Day weekend. Amen. If you are a family, if you want to remain standing, if you are a family of a veteran who has laid down their life or lost their life fighting for this country, will you just slip up your hand this morning so we can honor you? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. One more time. Can we give them a hand? Thank you. And because I am not good at all the formalities, all of our bridge students, our fifth and sixth graders, you can be dismissed to your worship service right now. I forgot to do that earlier. All of our fifth and sixth graders, you are free to go to the bridge. Y'all ready for the word today? Amen. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. When you see the scripture that I'm going to read today, you're going to be like, oh, I came to church on Memorial Day and pastor's preaching this. Okay, just buckle your seatbelt. I promise you we're going somewhere. And it's always good. How many of y'all has got the sword of the Spirit with you today? Amen. The word of the Lord. You got your word with you. It's always good to have the word with you, whether it be a paperback Bible or a phony Bible. One of either one is appropriate. Let's read this today. And before I really talk about what I'm going to preach on, I'm preaching to myself as well. Because in any given moment in time, self can get in the way. Priorities can get out of line. And if you're not careful, you can get totally out of alignment with God's will, God's purpose, and God's order in your life. And today is the heart behind today is to get into alignment. Here's the scripture. Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged. For with that judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Whew. Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank again? I've read this many times, but it's just different when you stand up here in front of a congregation and read it out loud. You almost just have to smile at it to break the tension in the room. Let me remove the speck from your eye. Look, a plank is in your own eye. Verse 5, if that wasn't hard enough, verse 5. Hypocrite. First, somebody say first. First, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Today, I want to refocus everybody in this congregation, myself included, on a key, one of the key aspects of 2024 vision, which we know 2024, the year of more. I see a couple of people with their vision casting shirts on, t-shirts on today. But one of the key aspects of 2024 vision was divine alignment. Divine alignment. How many of y'all remember preaching that in January? Divine alignment. We're going to refocus on divine alignment today. I believe this is important. I need you praying for me today. Are y'all ready for this? Let's pray. God, we love you. I praise you, God, for this word that you've given me. I pray, God, that you would hide me behind your cross. God, I pray that all the time. I don't want it to be just a cliche prayer. But, God, I mean it from the bottom of my heart. I don't want people to really hear me or see me. I want them to hear and see you through me, Father. I pray, God, let the words out of my mouth, God, be ordained by you, Lord. Nothing more, nothing less. Let them pierce the hearts of this congregation today that we would not be just hearers of your word, but doers. And Lord, I pray, God, not a single person would leave this place today the same way we walked in, myself included. And I'll be quick to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise for everything that's accomplished. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, fist bump two or three people and tell them, get ready. So in studying for this message, I found this in the Bible. The Bible says, do this first 7 times. Do this first with the promise that if you do these things first, it will align you for the blessings that are unprecedented and that you have never experienced before. So many times in the Bible, we hear, first do this or first, and I'm going to pull these out today. I'm going to try to bring all of these can to the forefront of your mind and our mind today. I just read one. Why are we to remove the speck in someone else's eye when we have a plank in ours, right? What does the Bible say? First remove the plank in ours. Now I've read that one and I'm not probably going to preach a long time on it just because of the tension that I can cut with a knife in this room right now just by reading that scripture. But so many times we'll get self in the way, and when self gets in the way, it's hard to get into alignment with the heart of God, because the heart of God and the will of God is self last. It is selfless. John prayed the prayer, oh, that I may decrease and that you may increase. In any I statement, in the middle of the I statement and in the heart and the foundation of an I statement or a me-focused statement, at the center of that is called a spirit of pride. And the Bible says that pride goes before the fall. And I don't know about you, but I want to be a church that is selfless. I want to be a church that is full of humility. I don't want to be a church that's puffed up in pride. As a matter of fact, I might actually preach on pride next Sunday, because we're entering into a month called Gay Pride. And God despises a proud heart. There's a few things that the Bible says that God despises, and one of those is a proud, puffed up heart or puffed up spirit. 7 times God says, before you do something else, do this first. Put my word first and my blessings will overtake you. Put this word first. Hide my word in your heart that you might not sin against me. And I was thinking about how you can hit a pothole in a car, right? You can hit a pothole or you can hit a curb on a car, and all of a sudden you're going down the interstate, you hit 60 or 70 miles an hour, and all of a sudden you feel this vibration. You feel this shimmy, and then you feel a tug one way or to the left or to the right. It's pulling you one way or the other. And the next thing you know, it even hinders you from where you're supposed to go because something's off. Something isn't right. There's a direction. There's a path. God says, my way is narrow. My path is straight. And anytime we get out of alignment with the word of God, it always pulls us one way or the other. And it hinders us from the destination. It hinders us. God's got a dream. God's got a plan. God's got a purpose. God's got an order and a path in which we should go and take to get there. But when we get out of alignment, there is something that hinders us from going to where we're supposed to go. What am I speaking to today? Really, it's an alignment of kingdom and biblical priorities. In other words, we must dethrone whatever stands between us and Jesus. If there is anything in front of Jesus, if there is anything between us and Jesus, it is an idol in our life. It is out of order. It is out of alignment because, and I'm about to get into some of these scriptures. This is just my introduction. I hadn't even gone over any of the 7 yet. But here's the thing. God should always be first. His word should always be first in our life. We must dethrone whatever stands between us and Jesus. Look at this. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Again, just a part of my introduction. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely We are to be a holy nation, a peculiar people, set apart for a purpose. May the God of all peace sanctify you completely. God is a God of peace. God is not a God of chaos or confusion. God is a God of purpose and order. When God established the earth, he filled the earth with purpose and order. When God created you, he formed you to fill you with purpose and order. And anything that is out of order or out of alignment brings chaos because it is not of God. May the God of all peace sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, listen, spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the order in this scripture. So many times, our order is body first. Body first. I wanna feel good. I wanna be seen. I wanna be known. I wanna have the blue check mark by my name. I wanna have this and that. I wanna have status. Our order is the flesh first, then the soul, which is our emotions, our attitude, our happiness. As long as it makes me happy, as long as it makes me feel good, if it brings satisfaction to my flesh and my emotions. And then last, if we have time, the spirit. And all the while, the priorities is out of order, out of alignment. But notice God's priority is spirit first. And if you'll let him bless you and get in the priority of kingdom first mentality, then the finances, then the family, then the relationships, then the job opportunities, then everything else will fall into place. See, the Christian life is not me first, it's kingdom first. The Christian life is not me first, it's kingdom first. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you've been in church 50 days or 50 years. It's never a bad time to do the right thing. It's never a bad time to check your alignment. It's never a bad time to go and get your front end aligned. If you're feeling a pull or a tug that is out of alignment with this scripture, it's never a bad time to take inventory and say, am I in alignment with what God has for my life? And if you will say not me first, but kingdom first, then your life will be in alignment for God's blessings and favor. But just like there's a plan for getting in alignment with God, it is also possible with very little effort, might I add, to get out of alignment as well. That was my introduction. Here's seven signs that will help you determine if you are out of alignment with God. Here they are. Y'all ready for this? I'm gonna go very fast. Number one, in John 20, verse 19, it tells us that on the first day of the week, the disciples were assembled together. Somebody say assembled together. This is the alignment with the body of Christ. Number one, the alignment with the body of Christ. This is the Sabbath. How many of y'all know the Sabbath is very important? 6 days God worked, and on the seventh day he rested. Today is a day set aside for God. Today is a day that we assemble ourselves together. We worship. I know I'm preaching to the choir. I'm not gonna spend a lot of time. Maybe I need to be looking at the live stream. Maybe somebody's watching on the live stream today that didn't make the body of Christ priority. But thank you for watching online today. Praise God. See, there are things that God will do for you. Here's my point. There are things that God will do for you in church that he will not do for you by yourself. That's a word that people don't like to hear today, but there are things that happen, there are things that take place when the believers are assembled together in worship in the house of God, and there are things that happen and there are things that take place that just don't happen and that just don't take place outside of that on your own. There's things that happen in your spirit, in your spiritual health. See, God does not set this as a stipulation so you have to, so that you approach it, well, I guess I have to go to church on Sunday, or I guess I gotta you know, follow the Ten Commandments and keep the Sabbath, you know, no. God's saying, put me first because I know what's best than you know what. I know what's best for you more than you know what's best for you. And there are things in your life that will, there's breakthroughs. There's provision, there's miracles, there's things that you are seeking God for. And I've come to tell somebody, whether we like it or not, there's things that happen in the house of God that otherwise, if we're not here, we could miss out on. And it's time for us to take inventory. I'm preaching to the choir today. How you treat God's house is how God would treat your house. You missed that. How you treat God's house is how God will treat your house. You will see direct blessings in alignment with how you are in alignment with the body of Christ. God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins, for the bride of Christ, for the church. The bride of Christ, the church, is the apple of God's eye. And to be out of alignment with the body of Christ, to be out of alignment with the church, is to be out of alignment with the heart of God. Number two. The end of Deuteronomy, I'm preaching the heart is two up front. That way we can end on a good note today. Somebody say amen. Amen. The end of Deuteronomy 26, verse 2, God says this. Then you shall take some of the first, somebody say first. First of all the produce of the ground which you shall bring from your land that the Lord your God has given you, and put it in a basket and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. Here it is. He said to take the first fruits to the storehouse, to the house of God. That is the alignment of your finances. There it is. I know we don't like when a preacher preaches on it. I don't know why, but preaching about finances in the church is almost as bad as getting up here and preaching about politics for some reason. Because a lot of times, here's what we're doing. We're holding on to what we really think is ours. When in actuality, it's not yours. It's not mine. It's all, God owns all the donuts. You don't own any of the donuts. Every dollar in your bank account is his. And I know there's some people in here, and I'm not saying this to sound condemning. Maybe this principle is foreign to you. Maybe you've never heard this principle before. But everything you have, you would not have it if it was not for God's provision, God's blessing. Everything that I have, the breath that I have in my lungs is from him. The house that I live in, the car that I drive, my bank account, come on, the shoes on my feet, the clothes on my back, I would not have today if it was not for God's blessings and God's provision in my life. And all he says is to return a portion back to honor him. And it's the first fruits. Jesus, I'm going to preach this, whether you... Jesus was the first fruit offering of God. Jesus redeemed the other 90. And when we bring the 10th to the storehouse, it redeems the other 90. And I don't know if you've ever heard this saying before, and you've probably heard me say it. I would rather live with a blessed 90 than a cursed 100. Because God can make the 90 go a whole lot further than I could ever make the 100 go on my own. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 9 tells us that we need to honor the Lord with the first fruits of all our increase. Listen to me. I'm trying to get ahead of myself. It also says that when we do this, your barn will be full. You'll have everything you need when you put God first in your finances. And I know I'm preaching to a generous church this morning. I thank you for your generosity. I thank you that the majority of us, under the sound of my voice this morning, you put God first in your finances. So what I'm doing right now is I'm preaching to somebody that may not believe this principle. Can I tell you, I've sought the Lord in my finances. He heard me and he answered my prayer, and that's why I trust him. You've waited too late to tell me that if you put God first in your finances, that you won't have everything you know. You'll always have everything you need, because when you put him first, everything else falls into place. The tithe belongs in the storehouse that you call your church. The one that feeds your soul, that ministers to you and your family. The tithe is first. It's not the cost of admission to a gospel show. The tithe is not what you spend to your poor or send to your poor cousin in Birmingham. The tithe is not what you give to TV preachers. I'm preaching right now because I talk to so many people that send their tithe to some TV evangelist or some TV preacher. The tithe belongs to the church that ministers to your family, that ministers to your children, that ministers to your marriage. And I'm not trying to pin flowers on Forward Church. If Forward Church is not your home church, if you're watching online or something this morning, if you're a visitor, send the tithes to the house in which you are fed. Send the tithes to the house of the ministry that is ministering to your family. Because that's biblical. The tithe belongs in the storehouse that feeds your soul and ministers to your family. And here's what happens when we do this. Open doors will come your way. Good ideas will come your way. Creativity will come your way. You'll rub shoulders with people that you never dreamed you would even be in the same room with. But because you put God first in your finances, God said, I've blessed you with this. I can trust you with this. Now I'm going to take you to a place. I'm going to move you to a higher level. I'm going to put you in rooms with people that is going to open doors for your business, going to open doors for your family. And I'm going to tell you something. Otherwise, if you had not obeyed God in this moment, this door may not ever open. Creativity, alignment will come your way. Things that you never dreamed you would get in the people that you never dreamed you would get in the same room with. When you get your finances in alignment with God's kingdom, it happens. It comes to pass. Okay. Wow. Number three. Here's the third way to tell you are out of alignment with God. When you have no hunger for spiritual things. See, when your passions and emotions have no spiritual hunger, it is a sign you are out of alignment with the kingdom of God. Here's the thing, and I want to say this. How many of y'all know Pastor Jen Jen? Not Jennifer at this church. I call Jensen Franklin Jen Jen. My wife got me on that. I follow a man by the name of Jensen Franklin a lot. I don't send my tithes to his church, by the way. I pay my tithes here. If you don't believe me, ask Rosa. And by the way, I don't know who pays tithes and who don't. I don't constantly look at that. If you want to just know that, I don't know. So if you think I'm preaching to you this morning, it could be a, never mind. So here's the thing. I love what he said. I'm meddling a little bit, and this is a little dangerous because I'm running out of time, and I'm meddling, and I'm only on number three. We think every time we come into God's house, we're supposed to leave feeling good. And I wrestled a lot whether or not I was to preach this message on Memorial Day weekend because I've got the choir sitting under the sound of my voice this morning. But we get all up in our emotions, and I say we. I told you I'm preaching to myself too. And we think we're supposed to feel good every time we leave the house of God. Listen to me. If my flesh feels good every time I leave the house of God, that's the moment when I need to start questioning what's being preached behind this pulpit. Because go ahead and give him praise if you want to. Because sometimes there's going to be things in this, and a lot of times than not, there's going to be things in this book that don't make me feel good. That makes me feel a little something right here. It's, ooh. And in that moment, I don't feel good. But that's a sign that I need to repent. I need to get back into alignment. And when I get back into alignment with God, even though my flesh didn't feel good in the first place because I crucified my flesh, built up the spirit man, repented of it, got into alignment, now it all feels good. I mean, that's the way the enemy tries to trick you and say, oh, that's not good. But it is. It's good for us. When your passions and emotions have no spiritual hunger, it's a sign that you are out of alignment with God. Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. We seek all the things that really all the things come from God. This is the alignment of priorities. In other words, you have to dethrone whatever stands between you and Jesus. In Africa, they trap monkeys with a very simple device. I know this might be a humorous story, but there is spiritual analogy right here. And I've seen it done multiple ways. They'll trap a monkey with a device that is only big enough to put their hand in flat. And when they put their hand in, there's fruit inside this contraption, and they grab hold of that fruit, and they will not leave. They will not pull their hand out, and they are easily trapped. They are easily entangled because they won't let go of what they have hold of. So many times we fall into traps. We fall into entanglement, spiritually speaking, because there is a something prideful in our life that we are holding on to, and we're saying, I'm not going to let this go. I'm not going to let go of this. And the enemy all along is just laughing in our faces, saying, I've got you, I've got you, I've got you. But if we'll live the Christian life with a hands hope open mentality, saying, I don't care, I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all of these other things are going to be added. Look at your neighbor and say, let it go. Let it go. And the strange thing is, if you get in alignment with the kingdom first, God will add these things that you long for and wish for and dream for, but it's only in him. There's nothing wrong with these things. It's just when these things are put first, because first comes the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom. We're out of alignment when it's not first. Number four, the alignment of relationships. If you want the blessings of God, get in alignment for the blessing and first be reconciled. Even if they don't want to be reconciled with you, you've got to do your part to reach out and try to be reconciled. And then God says, that's a life I can bless. If reconciliation does not happen, it's not your fault. But it's on you and it's on me to be reconciled to our brothers and our sisters. Pastor, I need scripture. Here it is, Matthew 5:23-24. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way first, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. What is God teaching us in his word? God is saying that if you are in a position of unforgiveness, and if you are offended, it does you no good to bring an offering. It does you no good to bring your praise. It does you no good to bring anything into the altar. It does you no good because there is a hindrance. There is something out of alignment, and it's an area that God says, I will not move, and I will not bless, and I will not provide, and I will not move in that area of your life until you are first reconciled. Seek reconciliation. As a matter of fact, God gave Christ the ministry of reconciliation, and God gave us the ministry of reconciliation. It is reconciliation that is at the heart of God. And when there is something in you that is going against the ministry of seeking out reconciliation with your brother and sister, it is totally contrary to the Holy Spirit, and it is not of God. I love y'all. God is saying that if you are in a position of unforgiveness and offense, does you no good to bring an offering. But when you go and you make things right, then he will release blessings on the offering you brought. When you bring your sacrifice of praise, when you bring your offering of presenting your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable and pleasing to God, which is our reasonable act of service, when you bring your gift to God, listen, God's not so much concerned about your gift as he is your heart. And when your heart is in the wrong place, God says, I see your gift. And it's not that I don't care about your gift, but I don't really desire your gift first. I desire your heart first. And we may be gifted people. We know how to do church these days. We know how to formulate an order of service. We know how to do a live stream. I know how to formulate a sermon. But guess what? All of those things are just secondary to our heart being in the right place. Because first, God has given us a ministry of reconciling the lost to Jesus Christ. And when we lose focus and sight of how God sent his only son so that we can be reconciled to God, so that we can be forgiven, so that we can be restored. When I think of where he's brought me from, man, it puts things into perspective. Number five, an alignment of authority. Matthew 12, 29 says, or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? And then he will plunder his house. Listen, God tells us that we first need to enter the strong man's house and bind and take authority. He said, first, bind the strong man. This is the alignment of authority. The devil, listen, has stolen some things from you today. He has stolen some things from your family. He's stolen some things from your marriage. He's stolen some sons and daughters. He's stolen some job opportunities. He's stolen some things in your business. He's stolen some things maybe in whatever area that you've come heavy laden today, and you're carrying that burden, and you're allowing the enemy to steal what God says is rightfully yours. Maybe it's your peace. Maybe it's your joy. Maybe it's your praise. Maybe it's your worship. But listen to me. We have the authority in the name of Jesus to enter the strong man's house and bind him in Jesus' name. The Bible says the enemy is under my feet. And listen, my God is greater than anything that the enemy can come against me with. We are not defeated. We have authority over the spirit of lies. We have authority over the spirit of division. We have authority over the spirit of pride. We have the authority over the spirit of fear, over the spirit of depression, the spirit of suicide, and the spirit of discouragement. None of these things are of God. And if you're going through these things today, don't allow the enemy to keep your stuff in a storage unit locked up, because God says, I've given you everything you need to bind him and take authority in the name of Jesus, place him under your feet where he belongs, and take back what the enemy has stolen. Come on, somebody, give him praise. Open up your mouth and glorify God. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Let your praise be your weapon. Hallelujah. I'm not up here just screaming and hollering this morning so you can tell me I preached a good message. I'm trying to bring the anointing that sets the captive free, that sets the bound free, that opens the eyes of the blind. I'm tired of just having church. I want to see supernatural signs and wonders follow the believers. But to do that, we've got to be in alignment with this word. We can't have a spirit of division. We can't have a spirit of fear. We can't have a spirit of pride in the house of God. Those things are how the world operates. But God says it's going to be different in my house. It's going to be different in the house of God. Hallelujah. I'm going to do number six and seven together so they can come on up whenever they get ready. Number six, there's another first in Matthew 23, 36 through 38. Here it is. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord. Listen to me. Everybody thinks this love talk up here is elementary. Everybody thinks this love talk. Pastor, you all the time preaching on love. We'll shout, we'll stand on our hands, and we'll run the aisles when we preach on spiritual gifts. But you read the book of 1 Corinthians. You read the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, chapter 13, and chapter 14. Paul is dealing with spiritual gifts in the church. But 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 is open up. He said, if I speak in the tongues of men or angels, but do not have love, I am nothing but a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. You can have all the spiritual gifts in the world, but I'm going to tell you, one of these days, we're going to stand before the throne room of heaven, and you can tell God, didn't I cast out demons in your name? And one of the scariest things that I could ever hear is, depart from me, because I never knew you. To know God is to love God. And listen, I wanted to end with this because we can bind, we can rebuke, we can take authority, we can bring our gift, we can do all of that. But if we don't have love in this house, we are missing the mission of this house, and the mission is to love God and to love people. It's the only two commandments that we are given in the New Testament. I got to move on, and I got to save a little bit in the tank for the 11, for whoever shows up. Come on, somebody. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your mind." This is, somebody say it. This is the what? First and the greatest commandment. Now it goes on to say the second one is equally important, but it don't say it's first. It just says it's equally important. You know why? Because you'll never get the second one right until you get the first one right. I feel like running right now. You'll never be able to love each other until you love him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. If there is anything in you that does not, let me word it this way. If there is anything in you that don't love your neighbor the way you're supposed to love your neighbor, it may be a sign that the first commandment is out of alignment. I know y'all don't want to hear that. God is saying, I want you to get in alignment with the fact that I love you. Jesus said, he prayed for you. How many of y'all know Jesus prays for you? He said, my desire is that you be one. Is that me? Man, it's because I hooked it on my belt up here and I got a little, every time I, little, yeah, that little wiggle, wobbly. Jesus said, I pray that you and I are one just as I and the Father. Check, 1, 2. Jesus said, I pray that you and I are one just as the Father are one. He was talking to his disciples. He's saying this, that if you want to love each other the way you're supposed to love each other, love the Lord your God first. First, the greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart. God is saying, I want you to get in alignment with the fact that I love you. Don't listen to the voice of the enemy telling you to hate yourself because of this and that. This is not the voice of any voice that is a condemning voice in your life. It is not the voice of God. For now, therefore, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You need to look back at that voice and say, I'm favored by God. I am loved by God. And listen to me. God will never place on your heart the demise or the downfall of another brother or sister in Christ. He will never place on your heart the plan or the plot of another person's downfall. You know why? Because he loves that person just as much as he loves you. And he has good desires for this person just as much as he has good desires for you. But at the heart of that should be our love for one another and our love for him. Get in alignment with the heart of God and then love others the way God loves you. 7. I'm ending with this. Jesus was talking to several Pharisees who were, they wore white clothing to show how holy they were. And that's what a lot of church people like to do, right? We just want other people to know how holy we are. Amen? Uh-oh. Amen or oh me. God says, be holy for I am holy. There's nothing wrong with holiness. Is there? Holiness is a good thing. When does it become wrong? It becomes wrong when the only reason we're doing it is so others can see it. He was talking to several Pharisees who wore white clothing to show how. Then he said this in Matthew 23, verse 26. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish that the outside of them may be clean also. Closing with this. What is this? This is the alignment of your inner man, your inner person, your inner being. God cares more about what's on the inside of you than he does about what's on the outside of you.
Because what's eventually on the inside of you is going to come on the outside. You cannot take the man out of the world, but you have to take the world out of the man. It's impossible for you and I to take the man out of the world. Because why? We're in this world. The Bible says that we're in this world, but we're not of this world. We are in this world until Jesus comes back and calls us home to be with the Lord. So it's impossible for me to take me out of this world. But what's possible is to get this world out of me. That alignment in your inner man is your purity. It's your thought life. It's the thoughts that you think. It's the thoughts that you don't even tell anyone else that you thought. But the Bible says that we can take those thoughts captive. We may think it, but we don't have to say it. And just because you think it doesn't necessarily make it a sin. But when you dwell on that, and when you act on that, oh Lord, help me. And when you speak on that, or when you type on that, or when you act, or when you have a certain charisma about you because of that, and you carry yourself differently, nobody wants to be around you. Nobody wants to have anything, because that is out of alignment with the heart of God. It's out of alignment with the heart of God. Some people worry about the outward only, how they look, their reputation that they think they have, and what people think. But the greater thing is to be clean on the inside, in your thought life, in your purity, in your attitude, in your spirit. And let what's on the outside be an overflow. Clean the inside of the cup. And when it overflows, what overflows out of the inside is going to be clean. What spills over onto other people is going to be clean. It's going to be pure. It's going to be love. It's going to be peace. It's going to be joy. It's going to be long-suffering. It's going to be the fruit of the Spirit. But when you got dirty things on the inside, every time the enemy, every time a storm comes your way and somebody bumps into you, or and you spill over something, if it's dirty, it's just going to spill out dirty things. Dirty things, dirty things, dirty things. Pride, jealousy, lies, self-seeking, pious, puffed up, condemnation, looking down on others. God wants to bless you through these alignments of the body of Christ: your finances, your priorities, relationships, authority, your heart, and your inner man. But listen to me. It begins with this. And everybody stand. I've got to get through this. My last three sentences. It's time. You need to get this in your spirit today. Listen, it is time. The time is now. Not tomorrow, not next week, not when you feel like it, but when the Holy Spirit sends a pastor by to preach on it, and you know that you know that you know that there's something in there. It's time. It's time to dethrone whatever is standing between you and Jesus. Because a pastor will get up here and preach a message like this, and here's what happens. Everybody who hears the message is thinking this. Now, I'm not saying everybody, but sometimes here's what you think. Oh, I wish so-and-so would hear this. They really need to hear this. That person needs to get up there to that altar. Here's what God is saying. How can you look at the speck in someone else's eye when you got a plank in your eye? First, 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 I'm going to say it to somebody that's in their spirit. First, remove the plank from your eye, and then you may be in a place where you can deal with a speck in somebody else's eye. Listen to me. It's not wrong to go and to correct another believer in love and in the right attitude and in the right spirit, but you're not going to go to them in love, in the right attitude, in the right spirit, as long as there's a plank. It's going to be in the wrong attitude, and a lot of times it's going to do more harm than it does good. So if we'll put the first things first today, what's first? You and Him. You and this word. You and the kingdom. It's time to dethrone whatever is on your heart today. There is only one person that deserves to be on the throne of your heart, and His name is Jesus Christ. He is the name above all names. He is the name by which every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. There is only one name who is worthy of your heart today, and it's Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed. God, I pray, Lord, have your way in this house. Altar team, get ready. We're about to open these altars right now. If you've got something that you're dealing with that you just say, I need to get it under the blood, I need to lay it down at the foot of the cross, I'm going to pray this prayer, and as soon as I say amen, the altar.
We hope you've been blessed by today's message. Make sure to subscribe to stay up to date with our most recent episodes. To find out more, visit us at forwardchurchonline.com. There you can connect with us, learn more about our ministries, and submit any prayer requests you may have. We hope you join us again soon.